Turkish media showed images today of what it's calling a 15-member assassination squad, allegedly sent to target Saudi journalist Jamal Khashoggi when he arrived at the Saudi consulate in Istanbul last Tuesday. The kingdom has called the allegations that it either murdered or abducted Khashoggi baseless, but it hasn't yet provided any evidence that he left the consulate, and Khashoggi hasn't been seen since last Tuesday. Aaron David Miller is director of the Middle East program at the Wilson Center. He's also a former Middle East advisor to past Republican and Democratic administrations. Aaron, welcome back. You know Jamal Khashoggi and consider him a friend.
We've had conversations over the years. He's participated in Wilson Center programs. But I liked Jamal. He was easy to like. He had a great sense of humor. He was a damn good journalist, a man of profound integrity and courage. And I think above all, and this is the paradox, I think, a man who was a Saudi patriot and a Saudi nationalist, but who had profound doubts about the behavior both at home and abroad of the current Saudi leadership. I would like to hope that Jamal is still alive. The indications, even though no one will confirm it publicly, and the Turks are obviously are in a very awkward position on this. They've had their sovereignty violated, and yet, at least at the moment, they don't seem that they want to pick a major fight with the Saudis right now. Nobody's confirming this. It's just all of the media reporting based on Turkish security sources and political sources seem to suggest that Jamal Khashoggi, this was premeditated, ordered at the highest levels of the Saudi government.
If this is true, it would be incredibly brazen. Why do you think the Saudis would be willing to take that risk and to shoulder all of this international scrutiny just to silence one man?
I mean, it's a very good question. A message sent to dissidents abroad, and every journalist who has criticized the government of Saudi Arabia, obviously this was intended perhaps as a warning. I mean, it strains the bonds of credulity to the breaking point that even this Saudi government, which has acted, in my judgment, repressively at home, and I speak as an American here, recklessly with respect to American interests in Yemen against Qatar, that they would still be willing to risk an operation which violated Turkish sovereignty against a man who had been living in the United States, writing for the Washington Post, and frankly, whose criticism of Saudi Arabia was done in the spirit of a Saudi patriot and a Saudi nationalist. When you read what Jamal had written, it was articulated by a man who cared deeply about his country, but who was worried about the direction that it was taken, and a man who conceded that some of the reforms of the crown prince, largely, were quite positive. To me, I would say it's unimaginable, but I'm sorry to admit that it's more every day that this was Jamal's fate.
It also happened at a time when we have been reporting, unfortunately, on other examples of state-sponsored violence on foreign soil. Just yesterday, we learned more about the identity of the Russian intelligence officer who was accused of poisoning a former spy in the UK. When you add all of this up, what you're seeing around the world, does it represent to you at all a breakdown of international order?
Some would argue that it represents an increasingly lawless world where international norms are wantonly violated without any recourse to bringing any of these individuals to justice. Others would argue that this is the way of the world. It's been this way for a very long time. Nations calibrate their interests ruthlessly, pragmatically, without much regard for principle. Again, I care most about the United States as an American. Well, and here I think there is a serious issue. I mean, the American administrations, and I worked for a half a dozen secretaries of state of both political parties, Republicans and Democrats, have long, in the interests of the United States, maintained very close relationships with Saudi Arabia.
And let's talk about that. Khashoggi's fiance wrote an op-ed in the Washington Post begging, essentially, President Trump to do something about this. As you just said, not only the Trump administration, but other administrations have been loath to confront the Saudis about human rights abuses. I mean, what can the Trump administration do? And what do you think they will do?
At a minimum, we need a full accounting of the Saudi role. We've touted Saudi Arabia and the senior leaders of this of Saudi Arabia, the Crown Prince in particular, as a reformer, a moderate man who envisions a different future for his country. And we have leverage. President Trump reportedly said to King Salman several weeks ago, "You wouldn't last 2 weeks if it wasn't for the U.S. military." And I think the threat, the consequence, is that the future of the U.S.-Saudi relationship is really at stake here. Now, does the administration want to go down that road? Preliminary indications are the answer is no. The president is now has joined himself to Mr. Putin, who eliminates his rivals abroad. And now we have serious accusations that another American partner, the Saudis, are doing the same thing. And that's not good. As an American, that's not good for America.
Aaron David Miller of the Wilson Center, thank you.